is excited to be in the house of the Lord this Sunday morning for our first Fresh Fire service. Turn to your neighbor and say, Fresh Fire.
Fresh fire.
I turn to the neighbor you ignored and say, Second Choice. Fresh Fire. You go ahead and stand up. I am believing, and it's fitting that it is so cold, that we have some fresh fire in the house this morning. Now, I don't know where you are in your walk with God. I don't know if this is your first time to walk through these doors. I don't know if you are a saint that has been here for 115 years. But today is the day for a fresh fire to pour out on you. You may have been speaking in tongues for years. Maybe you have had the Holy Ghost since you were small, or maybe you haven't ever received it yet. But no matter what stage you are, a fresh anointing that pours out is something that never gets old. It is something that's going to give you some strength for today. So what we're going to do is begin to worship His name, begin to lift up praises, and receive a blessing from the God today in Jesus' name.
To the night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul.
Lost another one, I am free. I am free. I am free. He lost another one, I am free. I am free. I am free. He lost another.
T.S. Eliot, and it's called The Hollow Man. And the start of the poem, the first two lines say, "We're the hollow men, we're the stuffed men." And in that, it's a contradiction, it's a paradox. And a little bit of context is that this poem was written after World War I. And they're rebuilding, because it was in Britain. And so he wrote this story and he wrote this poem. And it's, "We're the hollow men, we're the stuffed men." What he's saying is that we have gone through so much pain and lost so much that on the outside and the appearance, we are alive and we are living. But on the inside, we are dead and we have nothing because we've hurt so much and we have no purpose. It's funny how the world, and I say power, but it has no power at all, can make you look alive, feel alive, but strip you away of your meaning and purpose so on the inside you feel dead. But it has no power over you at all. Because I know a God who will set you free indeed. When depression
has stolen your smile, when anxiety has stolen your peace, when loss has stolen your trust. I know a God that can give it all back, because he says, no, my child, you are not dead inside, because when I am with you, you will forever live. You will be the same on the inside as you are on the outside, but with me in you, because God can do all things. When the world is so bleak, when there is war that has been ravaged, God said, no, I'm still there, because the sun still shines. And so I will shine upon you. So we'll go into prayer and prayer requests. And if anybody has anything, I urge you to please step out in faith. It doesn't even have to be for you. It could be for that person that you are longing to see have a change in their life. But maybe you're scared to go to them. But this isn't as scary. And it does just as much. It has the same power. So, for any name that you have in your heart, or any name that is on the board, I urge you to please step out. We have Steve Gordon, Lee Landis, Stacy Fryer, Sister Mildred Pratt, Brother Billy Trinato, Tanya Freeland, Brother Tiny Freeland, Sister Bernice Griffin, Brother Jerry Newberry, Sister Lexi Swaim, Brother Gary Weatherin, Sadie Sinyama, and Sister Jane Lay's neighbor. I urge you, because God, he's so powerful, and you know it. So we'll all bow our heads. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here in this moment. We thank you for your fellowship and your love, Lord, for your spoken and unspoken needs. Jesus, in your name we ask you. In your name we pray.
Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. More than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
Savior, the one who will never answer. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him.
I saw the Lord and He heard and He answered. I saw the Lord and He heard and He answered. I saw the Lord and He heard and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I saw the Lord and He heard and He answered. I saw the Lord and He heard and He answered. I saw the Lord and He heard and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him.
Not only did you hear, but you answered, and only the word. way that you can. You may be seated. How many of you really like to be in the know?
Yes.
Well, that's why we make announcements around here, so everyone will be in the know of what is going on. So we do have some things that you need to know about. First of all, I want to mention that, you know, our Ladies Joy Conference will be held on April the 3rd and 4th in Mesquite, Texas again. And online registration is open right now. On Wednesday, our precious Sister Sue Smith got invited by God to join that graced hope of witnesses, that great host of witnesses that is in heaven. She got called Wednesday and she answered the call. So we're so thankful for Sister Sue and her beautiful life. And so we're going to have here a memorial service for her, a beautiful celebration of her home going here on Tuesday at 11 o'clock. There will be receiving friends from 10 till 11. So all of you that can possibly make it, I know that it will be a beautiful, beautiful service. So let's continue to remember Mary Lou and Ronnie and all that Morton family in prayer, that God will strengthen them and touch them as only He can. Then Ladies United has been moved from this Tuesday night till January the 28th because of the cold. So mark that on your calendar. This coming Wednesday night, we're going to start a series from 7 to 8 called Greatness, God's Gift to You. The first one will be Greatness Begins in Your Mind. Embrace right thinking. I know it's going to be very, very cold Wednesday night, but hopefully some of you can make it out. I'm going to teach the first one, okay? So all of you that can make it out in the cold on Wednesday night, we're starting a six-week series. Well, next month Sunday, since it's the beginning of the new year, we're going to have our communion service, as we always do at the first of the year. So next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock will be our communion service at 10 o'clock. There will not be service on that Sunday night. Then the first week of February, we're going to resume having pastoral candidates come in to speak to all of you. So you certainly want to make all of those meetings. Meanwhile, you know, Jesus has said that I will never leave or forsake you. That's the way Pastor Meyer and I feel. We are not going to leave or forsake you. So we are here on site for any time you need a prayer, go to the hospital. If you need some counseling, whatever you need, hopefully not many more funerals. But if whatever you need, we are here on site until God brings the right man here to be your next pastor. So right now, our ushers are coming forward and we're going to receive our morning offering, tithes and offering. God bless all of you.
Praise, worthy is your name.
Jesus. Oh, now my shame is gone. I stand amazed in your love undeniable. Oh, my God, your grace calls on.
You alone deserve our praise. You're the
God bless you. You're seated. It's a wonderful thing to know that the truth is these people that have been up here singing and ministers that preach are servants. Jesus was a servant. And you are being served spiritual empowerment, spiritual singing, spiritual worship. And so the flow goes into the people, and the diet of spirit, the wine, the spirit, and the glory fill the congregation. Then you serve the city with a life that is the most meaningful life of any individual, and that is the children of the servant. Jesus was the suffering servant. But what he gave us to serve ministry, and then we covenant with our city and our county. And so it's not so much about who's on the platform and the eloquence of any kind of verbiage, but the eloquence is that we never dam up the river. It shall be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And God has given us a wonderful servant, a youth pastor who has served well and continues to serve these wonderful youth. I marvel at our wonderful young people that are rising up in this generation to serve their peers, their friends outside this building. And I cannot thank you all enough as a pastor and a evangel of God myself. You guys are really special in the eyes of God and your local church family, who has served you well, giving you a building, a place to come. It'd be bad to have church services outside today. There's still ice on the road. But in that framework, Brother Stephen Rhodes has realized just part of what God's plan is. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I congratulate you and your wife for serving well, an overcoming spirit. Cancer could have took you out, but the servant of healing brought healing. The disappointments in life could have taken you out, but the servant of victory showed up at your house. And now we turn to another scripture. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus. Going all the way back to Deuteronomy, the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies and to save you. So he endeavors to let us know that our servanthood, we begin to gird up the loins of our mind and we take the sword of the Lord. And thank you, Brother Stephen Rhodes. As you come to this pulpit, we thoroughly enjoy what you serve.
Could give that hand clap of praise to the Lord. Clap him like the loudest that you have clapped all morning, because he truly deserves praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, just 5 more seconds. Can we just lift up some praises unto him? Can we just usher in the presence of God right now? Thank you, Lord. I praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Guess because you're, and like anybody else, you're well aware of your shortcomings. You're very aware of your flaws and what you think you need to be better at. But in those moments, it's good to remember that the God that died for me and that died for you, He sees those. He knows about them. And He still died anyway. He still loves you anyway. All the things that somebody says something nice about you, He said, oh, well, they don't know about this. They probably wouldn't say that. They don't know what I did, or they wouldn't. Jesus says, I know. And I knew when I was hanging on the cross. And I knew whenever they lowered me into the tomb. And then I knew whenever I resurrected on the third day to give you eternal life. I knew what your weaknesses were. But I know that I am your strength. So if you have some weaknesses today, join the club. Because we have our strength here today that is going to minister to us. And I'm believing that this first fresh fire service, that we're going to get a grip on some things. Amen. Our first scripture, I want to thank everybody for being here. It's going to be it's Philippians 3:12. If you have your Bibles, if you don't, it's still going to be in Philippians 3:12. But I want to thank everybody for being here this morning. It is cold. It is uncomfortable. But God does things in the uncomfortable. And I'm believing. But Philippians 3:12 says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And we could flip to the New Living Translation. Sometimes I like to go back and forth and get an understanding, but it says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or have already reached perfection. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. If we could just lift our hands right now towards heaven and begin to thank Him that God, before I ever loved you, God, before I ever even thought about living for you, you had a hold of me. God, before I ever turned my eyes to you, you had me in your sights. And God, I pray that right now, no matter where we are in our walk with God, that no matter where we are, where our faith is, that God, I pray that we come to an understanding this morning that God, you already have a hold of us. That God, you already have us in your hand. And God, I pray that we reach forward to get a hold of you today, knowing that you have already got a hold of us. In Jesus' name, I pray for a response today, not to my words, but God, to your word. Not to the preaching, but God, to the unction of the Spirit. That God, I pray that we respond to the call to go deeper to you today, to reach further than we ever have. Maybe we've gotten into a rut. Maybe we have gotten comfortable. Maybe we have gotten content or complacent. But God, let us go deeper into you today and walk out of this service full of the Holy Ghost, full of power and authority, full of conviction, full of victory today. In Jesus' name, it does not happen by any other name. It does not happen by any other action, but it happens when we submit to the authority of the only saving name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. That I may take a hold of what has already taken a hold of me. It's words written by Paul that blew my mind I want to say the first time I read it, but I'm sure I'd read it before. And a lot of times we read the Bible and we read it over and over, and there's a scripture that I'm like, somebody came in here and rewrote this, because there's no way I missed it. But when I read this scripture and I heard him say, if I could just get a hold, I'm just trying to get a hold of what has a hold of me. It gave me this peace of just knowing that the first move had already been made long ago. That we didn't have to make the choice that salvation was available. That we didn't have to make the choice and make this first move for God to then become salvation and become our Savior. But the move had already been made, that God had already had us and had attention on us, and he had gotten a hold of us before we ever could trust in him, that he fell in love with us long before we could ever fall in love with him. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. There is no prerequisite for obtaining God's love. Maybe you've been nervous on a first date. And you're like, I gotta make sure I impress him. I gotta wear the right thing. I've gotta say the right things. I definitely can't tell them my hobbies because they'll think I'm a nerd. I have to do these certain things so that maybe they'll like me, maybe they'll love me. And we jump through hoops, and oftentimes we add this lifestyle, this approach to how we think our relationship with God is. That we think, I have to be a certain way for God to love me. I have to be a certain way for God to look fondly of me. I have to be a certain lifestyle. I have to be able to live in a certain family. I have to do these things for God to love me. But there is nothing that you can do that can change how God loves you. There is nothing that you can ever do to make God stop loving you. Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness or peril or sword? Nay. Everybody say nay. Everybody say no. In all, everybody say all. All these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, what you're going through today, or things to come, what's happening tomorrow, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, what's above you, nor depth, what's below you. Nothing is able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. There is nothing that you can do to make him love you less. God's love for you is greater than your unbelief this morning. God's love for you is greater than the shame that maybe you walked in here carrying from mistakes of your past or maybe situations you grew up in. God's love for you is greater than the trial and the tribulations and the storms that you are going through right now. And maybe you're not all in on living for God yet. But God is already all in for you. He had a hold of you. He had a plan for you. He had a promise for you and for me long before we were ever even born. And he has a hold of you today. And that promise that he had before you were born is still just as active after your mistake, after your parents were divorced, after you did something you said you would never do, after you begin to doubt maybe. His promise is still alive. His promise is still great. His love for you is still there, and there is still nothing, just as the word is going to be true yesterday, today, and tomorrow, that his love is never going to be taken away from you. Maybe we walk away and we don't feel his love because we've shielded ourselves from it. Maybe we don't feel it because we walk away from it and we try to run, but it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life. So maybe you are running and you say, I don't know if God loves me because I've been running for so long. All you have to do is turn around. Because if he is following after you, if he is getting a hold of you, the moment you turn around, he's right there with open arms saying, what took you so long that I've been waiting for you, that I love you, that I died for you, and let's get started. Isaiah 41:10, don't fear, because I am with you. Don't be afraid, but I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will surely help you. I will hold you. I will hold you. I will have a hold of you with my righteous right hand. Who is thankful this morning that God loved us before we ever loved him? Who is thankful that he made the choice long before we ever made that choice, that he decided to leave the 99 for you, that you weren't just an afterthought? You weren't just a background character or an extra in this movie called life, but you are a chosen child of God, that you are a chosen vessel to be used of a ministry that only you can provide through the power of the Holy Ghost. Long before you ever even considered loving him back, and it's a beautiful realization of God's love for us being unconditional. However, unfortunately, there's levels and dimensions that are far greater than what many of us have and what maybe some of us will ever experience. But my prayer this morning is that everybody under the sound of my voice, everybody that is watching on the live stream, everybody that comes in contact with the message of Jesus Christ has an awakening in their spirit to no longer be content with being loved first, but to strive to get a hold of him, but to strive to love him back, to strive to love him and get a hold of him who first loved us. And when we make that realization, when that realization comes up in our relationship, and when we strive for and we reach for a new dimension in our walk with God, it's going to surpass everything you thought was possible. You thought maybe you'd have to wait for a minister to come and pray for your family members so they would be healed. But it will be you that will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. You think you have to wait for maybe a minister to come by and say the right word to your coworker, to your friend, so that they can be saved from darkness. But God is saying, I am calling you to reach the lost. I'm going to do a great work, and greater works than these shall you do whenever you take a hold of that same spirit. You have the same Holy Ghost that Pastor Meyer has. Maybe he has a hold of a little more of it than we do. But we're working on it. And we're striving to get a hold of it. But there's this interesting story. It's in Genesis 32, 23 through 31. Where we experience what I'm talking about. And it's Jacob. And Jacob has an interesting story all throughout his life. And when we find Jacob right here, he's not in a good spot. He's not in a great place. He has already lied to his father. He has already stolen his brother's birthright. And he is on the run. And he has heard word that his brother is out to get him. And it's not to give him a hug. But his brother is out to get him. He knows he had been lied to. He knows that he had been stolen from. He knows that he had been deceived and he had been tricked. And he is out to get Jacob, and he's going to kill Jacob when he finds him. And so Jacob, we find him on the run and afraid. And in this passage, we find him at night. And he's terrified. And so he gets his family and he sends them away. He sends them on ahead so that when Esau catches him, they will at least be safe. And the scripture says that he took them and he sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. If you never read this story and you're just reading it line by line, that one catches you off guard. He was alone, and he was fearful, and he was paranoid, and a man wrestles with him until the breaking. All night, this man wrestles with him, and this man is revealed to not to be just an ordinary man. This man is revealed to be an angel of God to some, and some believe God himself. And we know that if it is an angel of God that is doing the ministry of God, he's wrestling with the message of God. He is wrestling with God by all means and purposes. And in the scripture, it says that a man wrestled with Jacob. letting us know that it was God that initiated the struggle. That it was God that reached out and grabbed a hold of Jacob in the night. That it was God that reached out and grabbed a hold of Jacob when he was alone and whenever he was fearful, whenever he had messed up and he had done things he shouldn't have done and he was on the run and he thought the next person that he sees is probably going to try to get a hold of him and kill him. But the next person that he saw got a hold of him, but it wasn't to kill him. It wasn't to destroy him, but God was reaching out in the darkness when nobody else could find him. God can find you when nobody else can. God isn't intimidated by the darkness in your life. God isn't overwhelmed by your fear. He isn't repulsed by your mistakes. But like Jacob, God is reaching out to you and to me today, saying, I know where you are and I know what you've done. But if you let me, and if you just get a hold of me, I can change who you are. I can transform you into greater than what you thought was possible. I can make you into a new creature. I can take what was broken and disgusting, and I can turn you into something that is greater than you ever thought. And people can look at him and say, isn't that the person that used to lie? Isn't that the person that used to steal? And you say, yes, it was. Until one night, something got a hold of me. Something reached out and grabbed me. And that same God is reaching out today in your darkness. He's reaching out in your depression, in your anxiety, in your divorce, in your finances, whatever it is you're going through. God's reaching out to you today. And maybe we've already felt his presence in the worship service. We felt him pulling and reaching out. And maybe we're fighting with it. Maybe we're starting to wrestle with it. Maybe we're going back and forth just like Jacob is. So God gets a hold of Jacob, and the struggle, it begins. And Jacob finds himself in a wrestling match with God, and the struggle is intense. And even the translation, the definition of this, the wrestling is kicking up dust. That dust is flying up. And they're going, and they're fighting, they're struggling, they're wrestling, and then something incredible begins to take place. It says, when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket. And Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Jackson, you've experienced this, the hip being dislocated. Stand up. How comfortable is it for your hip to become dislocated? Very uncomfortable. Thank you. You can sit down. Who believes him? Who cringes a little bit whenever they read this saying that the hip was pulled out of the hollow of the thigh was dislocated? It's uncomfortable. It pulled it out of socket. He touched Jacob's hip and it was dislocated. It was out of joint. The hip is the strongest, it's the largest weight-bearing joint in the body. It's your hip that connects the upper body to your lower body. You're like, well, obviously. But when you realize it's what connects everything up top to your legs and your feet, you realize it's connecting everything that happens up here. Everything that you see, everything that you hear, everything that you take in, that you receive in your mind, and it has to go down, pass through the hips into the legs and the feet, which take action into everything you have heard, everything that you have thought, and everything that you have received. And so there's a disconnect with Jacob. That Jacob, his hip was perfectly fine and in joint before, but he always struggled with trusting in God completely, like maybe his father had, who was Isaac. The same Isaac who was the one who was nearly sacrificed by his own father to God. Isaac who had the front row seat to see what it looked like to trust in God beyond your own understanding. The same Isaac that watched his father trust in the Lord and follow after him and not know, have a clue where he was supposed to go. And I know that faith bled into Isaac seeing this. But somewhere from Isaac to Jacob, the faith did not translate. And Jacob, even though I'm sure hearing the teaching all of his life, and I know him and Esau probably heard story after story of, well, son, you, when I was your age, my dad put me on an altar. And he raised up a knife. And you're like, Dad, not this story. Not this old thing again. But something happened with Jacob where his grandpa had a faith and had a trust in God and had a relationship and put all of his weight and bared all of his weight onto Jesus and onto God. And they had this faith and they had this idea and this understanding of, God, if you tell me where to go and if I receive it, I don't know where it all has to go, but my feet and my legs are going to follow after, and I will walk until you reveal to me where I'm supposed to go. But somewhere along the way, Jacob did not get a hold of that. Somewhere along the way, Jacob's faith was on himself, and it never got through. And he put all of his weight on his own trusting, and his weight on his own self, and he never followed after what he had heard and what he had seen. James 1, 22 through 25 says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." It's one thing to look in the mirror and see that your hair's messed up. But it's another thing to then fix your hair. And can you imagine waking up and looking and you're like, that looks terrible. And you go out into your day. And you forget what you looked like. You didn't address and fix what was revealed to you that maybe would help in the next day that you were going into. That you're wondering why everybody's treating you negatively. You're wondering why you're not getting the opportunities you thought that you should get. Meanwhile, you're looking in the mirror and you're seeing everything that maybe you should fix and you should address and say, sounds good. And you leave and you do not let it get from the mind and the ears, translate through the hips, into the legs, into the feet, and walk then in obedience to what you were shown. It's one thing to hear the word of God, but it's another to put into action the word that you have heard. It's one thing to be exposed to the power of God, but it's another to be influenced by the power of God. And somehow along the way, Jacob never developed that faith. A faith that was so prevalent in his family heritage. And Jacob was exposed to the teachings of Abraham and Isaac. But although Jacob heard it, somewhere along the way, there was a disconnect from what he saw, what he heard, and how he responded and obeyed. So God and Jacob are wrestling, and God knows what his struggles are. God sought out Jacob, and as they're wrestling, he touches the connecting piece between his eyes and his ears and everything he had been taught, and the legs and the feet that enact the obedience and the following after him. He touches the hip and he pulls it and dislocates it out of joint into a new alignment from where it used to be, out of the socket that he used to operate in the same range of motion that he was familiar with. He knew the places he was comfortable with and the places he would normally stop. We know the places that we like to pray. We know the words we like to say maybe while we're praying, but we know where we like to stop when things get uncomfortable. We know how long we like to come to the altar at the end of service. And we know when to cut it off because, well, we can't get that serious. It's only a Sunday morning. It's only a Wednesday night. It's only a Sunday night. I know I've operated in this socket for long enough that I don't need to trust and have faith in God anymore, because I've operated in this socket, in this joint, for so long that I'm comfortable where I'm at, and I'm okay with not growing anymore. And I guess I'm okay with running in fear and anxiety and in the darkness and fearful that my brother is going to kill me. But I trusted myself too much. But I haven't applied everything that I'd been taught. But God reaches in and he pulls that hip socket out of place. He pulls that joint out of place. And when we have a close encounter with God, God is able to pull things and parts out of our life, out of these routine joints and sockets that we have them in. And we're able to see things that we never saw before, that we're able to do things that we had never saw before. And too many of us have grown accustomed to a certain range of motion in our spiritual life, in our church attendance, and what we say and what we agree with, and how much we read or how much we listen to or how much we act. And Jacob had always taken matters into his own hands, and he always bared the weight of his own trust and blessings. And so God touched the largest weight-bearing joint in his body and said, you cannot put the trust that you used to where you used to put it. They, all this weight they used to carry in the hip, the largest weight-bearing socket and joint in the body, you're not going to be able to do that the same way anymore. Because when you've had a relationship with me, when you've had an interaction, an experience with me, I will change how you walk. I will change how you stand. I will change how you operate. You're not going to put that same trust in what you know is familiar anymore, but you will put a trust in something that is so much more powerful, something that you've experienced, and we've experienced that maybe at the altar. Maybe it's in a private prayer meeting where we begin to pray and you feel something that is greater than what you've been experiencing before, something that is greater than maybe the pills that you take to try to deal with your anxiety, maybe the drinks that you try to take to lean on to get through the depression or to get through what you're fighting with, or maybe it's the work that you dive into to distract yourself so you don't have to deal with the hurts and the insecurities and the uncertainty of your future or your relationship. All of these things that we put this weight on, when we have an experience with God, he will pull it out of socket and say, you can't do it like that anymore. You're going to have to trust in something greater. You're going to have to trust in something that is stronger than what you've been putting your trust into. And the only thing is me. God pulling you out of darkness may not always be comfortable. God chipping away at your flesh and your current lifestyle isn't always a pleasant experience, but it cannot compare to remaining the same as you always have. The discomfort of transition, the discomfort of moving from one place to the next, from moving from glory to glory, may not always be the pleasant experience you thought it would be. But it cannot compare to the hurt and to the pain of knowing that you never answered the call, of knowing that there was greater for you in store, and we remained the same that we always have because we remained in the joint and in the socket that we always have, and that we heard the teaching, but we never acted on it, that we knew that God was able to hold all of our trust, but we held on to it ourselves. But if we just let God pull some things out of our life, whether it's sin, whether it's insecurity, whatever it is, when God gets a hold of it, Jacob changed. Not just in his name that we'll read about, but something in his mentality changed. And Jacob begins to realize this because during this struggle, God had gotten a hold of Jacob and God was ready to move. The day was breaking. God's getting ready to move. He says, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob, who had been pursued by God, Jacob, who had been raised by a great man of God, of Isaac, and under the household of Abraham, who had always been pursued, and his goodness and mercy was always following after Jacob, and he was always the one sheep that God was leaving the 99 for, and he was always the one that was being pursued by God, that God had a hold of him. Something changes. And Jacob's not just happy being the one that's being held by God, but he says, "I will not let you go until you bless me. You got a hold of me, and I had an experience with you, but I know that I cannot go back to who I used to be. I'm in this moment with you. I'm wrestling with you. I'm fighting against you, but something has opened up in my mind where I realize I cannot go back to the fear where I was before you got a hold of me. I cannot go back to the anxiety and the darkness that I used to live in. And so now that you had a hold of me, but I've had a moment where I've realized who you truly are, and not just my grandfather's life, not just in my father's life, but now I see who you are in my life, and I've got a hold of you now. And I'm not letting you go. If you're needing to go, if you're needing to move, well, get used to me being right there with you, because I'm going where you want me to go. I'm going anywhere that you move. I'm not letting go of you. You got a hold of me. But God, I've got a hold of you now. And when we get a hold, not just the physical changes, but our spirit wakes up, and it's no longer God that's having a hold of Jacob, but it's Jacob having a hold of God and refusing to let go, that Jacob is no longer being content with being pursued by God. But now it's Jacob realizing why his father and his grandfather taught what they taught. He's realizing why they lived the way that they lived. And maybe we see elders in the church, or we see maybe our parents, or we see things going on, and maybe we follow along, but we don't really know why. We don't know why they do what they do. We don't know why they make it to every prayer meeting. We don't know why they continue to dress the way that they dress when the world is changing around them. We don't know why they continue to go to every single church service, even when the weather isn't good. We don't know why, but when we change and we let God pull some things out of socket, pull some things out of joint, and we get a hold of what first had a hold of us, and it becomes personal, and you begin to see what he does in your life, it's no longer just God in the Bible. It's no longer just Jesus in the stories that I read about in Sunday school. But you then look at him with you having a hold of him and you say, that was my Savior. That is the one who delivered me from depression. That is the one that reached me in my darkness and was able to pull me out. I don't know what you go through. I don't know what you experience. Maybe you've had a bad experience in church. Maybe you've gone through this. Maybe you don't believe in this. But I know what I've gotten a hold of. I know what had a hold of me, and it was great. But I know what I got a hold of now. And there is nothing that can stop me believing and pursuing and living after what I now have experienced and have a hold of for myself. That's why we have to have our own relationship with God. No matter what pastor takes this pulpit, it's our walk with God that gets us to heaven. No matter what pastor takes this pulpit, it is us that will reach our world. God's going to bring the perfect man of God to fill this pulpit, to fill this office, and to lead us. But it's not the pastor that will save us. It's not the pastor that's going to reach your friends and to reach your family and to be there in the darkness of night whenever they are struggling. It's the Holy Ghost moving through you. And I don't want to get older and my family is struggling and we're in the darkness of night and everything is falling apart around us. And I turn around and hope and beg for a preacher to come and save. As I get somebody that knows it better than I can to come into this situation because I never got a hold of it for myself. I know I need leadership from the man of God. I know I need to hear the leadership. I need to follow after him. But there are moments when I need to take a hold of God for myself and be able to take a hold of that same Holy Ghost and that same Spirit and say, devil, you are in my household right now. And the authority that my pastor has taught about, but the authority that I've gotten a hold of for myself. And I've studied to show myself approved. And I have studied and I have learned and I've experienced it for my own. I plead the blood over my home. I plead the blood over my marriage. I plead the blood over my finances, over my workplace. That's how revival takes place in the church. That's how revival takes over Paris, Texas. It's when the church has revival within themselves. It says, wherever this pastor goes, I will follow after him. Because I've experienced what the Word of God has said. I've done it for myself. It's not just having a hold of me anymore, but I've gotten a hold of it for myself. I know what God can do for me now. I know what he can offer me now, and it's greater than what this world has. It is greater, but I know that I need it for myself. Even musicians could come. I'm not going to try to get in the way of what God's wanting to do. But there are different parties in this church right now. And maybe you are the one where you have realized, God, I do have to get a hold of you. God, I do. I have to pursue you. I have to reach out to you. God, I need it for myself. I'm so thankful for you getting a hold of me, but God, I need a hold of you now. Answer that call. Reach out to him tonight. He won't be hard to find. But maybe you're in the party of why are you telling me what to do? I'm okay with where I'm at. I've done this long. I've lived this way long enough. I've lived this way and it seems to be okay. I'm good in the socket and in the joint that I'm in. No matter what party you belong to, if we just surrender not to my words that I've spoken, but the word that God is speaking to you, what the Spirit is calling you to do, and you respond how God is calling you to respond. These altars are going to open. And in altar calls, people come forward and people lift their hands. In altar calls, people come forward and they may lay on their face. They may kneel down. They may lean on the altar. In altar calls, maybe you are kneeling in your seat. Maybe you are sitting there with your eyes closed. Maybe you are running the aisles. Don't respond because somebody else is responding. Don't respond because your father and your grandfather had a relationship. How is God calling you to respond today? How is God calling you deeper unto Him? Has it been too long since the last time that you laid on your face in the altar and just cried out to Him, where tears begin to soak up the carpet underneath you? How long has it been that you ran the aisles whenever the music did not match up? How long has it been that you lifted your hands as high as it will possibly go? How long has it been that you decided to get a hold of God with a grip so tight that there is no way that He is leaving you until you let go of Him? How long has it been since you broke down every wall in the Spirit, that you crucified your flesh and said, God, it's not about what I want anymore. It's not about what is comfortable anymore. It's not about what I'm familiar with anymore. But God, it's about your will. It's about your anointing. It's about your kingdom. It's about your promise. It's about your future. And so, God, I'm done being comfortable. God, I'm done being stuck where I'm at. I'm done being Jacob. And transform me. Transform me this Sunday morning. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, and having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him, that I may get a hold of Him and the power of His resurrection, and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. We have been like Him in our sufferings. You could stand. We have been like Him in our sufferings. The Scripture says the days are short and full of trouble. We have all suffered. When you know Him, when you get a hold of Him, you're no longer just sharing in His sufferings, but you have the power of the resurrection. And we see too many people share in the struggling, share in the heartbreak, share in the hurting, and can never have the power to get back up because they never got a hold of the resurrection power. But that resurrection power is calling out to you and to me today. No matter if you are the oldest or you are the youngest, whether you've been here the longest or this is your first day here, or even if you're listening on the live stream just because you clicked on it. When you get a hold of that resurrection power, when you get a hold of the very one that rose Jesus from the dead, and you say, I've suffered for a long time. I've been this way for a long time. But I'm rising up today. Not on my own strength, but hold on the grip that I got a hold of that resurrection power. And so wherever you are, if you feel called to come up to the front and to begin to pray, these altars are open. If you need to kneel down where you are, maybe turn around in your pew and just pray. Get somewhere where it's just you and God. And you're not worried about what other people are saying. You're not worried about other people hearing what you're praying about or what you are turning away from. But it is a moment where God has gotten a hold of you this morning. And you're getting a hold of Him. And there's going to be a power that you're going to rise up out of your darkness today. That you're going to walk out of your fear today. That you're going to praise your way through your storm today. Because I got a hold of what has a hold of me. God, I pray that we respond to you. Thank you, God, that your hand is not too short to reach us. That you have sought after us in the darkness. That you have found us in the midst of our circumstance. Hold of that resurrection power. If you have not been filled with the Holy Ghost, which is that resurrection power, it's for you. If you've never spoken in tongues, which is what the evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost is, of receiving that resurrection power, of getting a hold of what has a hold of you. Acts 2:38 says, repent. Just turn away from your sins. Say, God, I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry for how I live. But God, I'm not living like that anymore. God, I'm turning away. I'm repenting from my sins. And then it says to be baptized in Jesus' name, the only saving name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And if you are ready to receive the Holy Ghost for the first time or for the 100th time, begin to lift up your hands all across this place. And begin to call out to God and say, God, you know what I brought into this house. You know what I came in here carrying. You know what sin and what shame. You know what baggage. You know what I've been fighting with. You know what I've been living in. And God, I refuse to stay in it. If there is more for me, I'm following you. So God, I'm repenting of my sins. I'm turning away. And I'm making the decision to go down in the water of baptism. And just like you came up out of that grave 3 days later, I'm coming out of the water, washed free of sin, washed free of my old life. And I know and I believe that I will be filled with the Holy Ghost, that I will speak words I don't understand, that the power of the Lord is going to move in me and through me in a way that I've never felt before. So God, I pray right now that you minister to each and every one of us.
Unless you come, will you meet me here again?
When you finish praying, find somebody close to you where it's appropriate and lay hands on them. Bind together.
It's all you are. Will you meet me here again?
And as a church body,
I'm not enough unless you go. I'm not enough unless
And to depart and to go into the rest of our weekend and this next week. When you have made the choice to get a hold of God, that means you have made the choice to let go of some other things. That you have made the choice to turn away from something, to let some things go, and to maybe take some things out of your life. And whenever you make those decisions, and you begin to get a hold of God stronger than maybe you have in the past, you're going to face opposition that next week. That the enemy is going to come in, because the easiest time and the best time, most opportune time to knock you off balance is when one foot is picked up in front of the other and about to take a step forward. And the enemy is going to come against you, and there are going to be doubts. The enemy is going to come against you, and you're going to think, that wasn't even real, what I felt. That wasn't even, this, what I'm going through is too great just for a church service, just for a God somebody preached about. But when those thoughts enter your mind, when those attacks come this week, and you think about compromising, and you think about going back to how you used to be, I want you to remember how you felt the moment before you took the step to grab a hold of him. What were you so desperate to get out of that you reached out in the first place? What were you so desperate to get away from that you decided to try God one more time? What was it that you were fighting against? And just as real as that moment is, this moment right here is just as real. Is more powerful. And this week, you're going to face some things. But you're going to win. Not because Brother Stephen said you would. Because Jesus Christ, the resurrection power that you have gotten a hold of, is going to be there when you lay your head down tonight. It's going to be there when you wake up in the morning, and there's going to be a faith that is going to rise up in you, and that opposition is going to come, and those lies and those deceptions are going to try to step in, and you're going to say, right on time, right on schedule, I figured you would show up, and I'm not stopping. I'm not letting go of God anymore. I'm not grabbing a hold of the world anymore. This world can pass away, but I've got a hold of Jesus now.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Let's close the word of prayer. And we're going to launch into victory for the rest of this day, this week, this year. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the response of your people. Thank you, God, for the power that you have promised us, that you have filled us with, and that will guide us and direct us and push us through every battle and every obstacle. God, thank you for never leaving us nor forsaking us. God, thank you for the victory that I will see this week. Touch every single person in here. Continue to minister to them. Let the word be planted in their heart and produce fruit that far exceeds just today. But let it reverberate through the entire atmosphere of their homes, of their workplace, of their school. And God, I pray that heaven pours out on Paris, Texas. In Jesus' name, amen.
In the